For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
You're prayed up.
Man, hey, after that anointed prayer, I'll tell you what, who wants to come up and preach? Because you can't preach after that, man. We got trouble. Hear what I'm saying? All right. Thanks, man. You're awesome. We sure at the right place here? It was good. I saw you checking that out, man. It's good. Right there. Super. You guys, man, you're a good-looking crew. Hey, this side is a little bit more full. We got full, and then this looks like my head. So here's what we got to do. Back to school. Back to school is like one of those times. It's like a fresh start, a fresh beginning. You know what? So I want to pray a special prayer. I know Pastor Tom prayed, man, we're prayed up, we're good. But I'm going to pray a special prayer because this is on my heart that we need to be a church of influence, okay? We're a church of some solid brothers and sisters, okay? We are. But let's pray that we are a church of influence, that God is going to drop a name or a face in your heart as you pray, and we're going to get them to church. What do you think? People need Jesus? Anybody? Yeah. Internet audience, man, you guys too. We are going to be a digital and online church of influence too, all right? So here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask that you would put a name or a face of one of our friends that need to be here. God, we don't want to hide the gospel. We don't want to be greedy with the gospel. Lord, we want to share the gospel. We want to make it hard for people around our influence to go to hell. We want to make it hard for people in Bakersfield to go to hell. And so, God, we know that that happens when we talk to people about Jesus, when we pray for people, when we bring them to church, and we pray that you would use us. Anybody that wants to be used by God would say amen. Oh, man, there's a lot of you, even from the bald head part out of here. I heard you guys. That's good. I like it. Hey, so a couple quick things. Last October, I did a similar message. It was based on a similar text. There's three versions of the story that we're going to talk about tonight, and it's Jesus walking on the water. A lot of times people preach Peter walking on the water, and he did. But tonight we're going to talk more about Jesus and the size of your God versus the size of the waves. Hello, somebody. Are we with me now? Okay? Because you serve a bigger God, way bigger than your waves. You serve a God that's bigger than your problems. You serve a God that is bigger than what you're going through right now. Marital, financial, health. Can I keep going? Your God is bigger than all of those things. So, that's for you tonight. So I'm going to put a picture up here, and this first one is we have three people that we know that walked on water, and here's a picture of one of them, so, yeah. Only three people in history have walked on water. Jesus, Peter, and Anselmo. This is yeah, you guys got it. I like it. And then while we're showing pictures, I got my little buddy, man. He's watching right now. Sage, I love you, bro. And this is his dad portrait. And he turns 9 tomorrow. And he's watching with Grandma and Grandpa. And so, yeah, happy birthday, buddy. Cheapest birthday present I bought. Okay, so, I'm just saying. If you have your Bibles, we are going to look at the Matthew version of Jesus walking on the water. I really like the Markan version because it's just kind of short and sweet and it emphasizes what it needs to emphasize. There's a couple little things that are different than the other two. But I do want to get Peter in there. And I think it's interesting, out of three times that this passage, this story is mentioned in Scripture, one of the times Peter's omitted. And it's pretty significant, don't you think? I mean, besides Peter, only two other guys walked on water, and Anselmo's just not yet been, you know, proven. We need to do a truth check on that. So it's interesting that a third is left off. I don't know, man. I mean, is there a conspiracy? Is it fake news? Did fake news happen, you know, back in the day? I don't know. But for whatever it is, I choose to say we're going to talk more about Jesus than Peter, all right? And if you're okay with that, we're going to go ahead and we're going to commence the starting in Matthew. And before we do that, I'm going to just digress this a little bit more. Squirrel. And are you guys with me? I mean, I just try to harness that ADD, man. What was it like for Jesus or Peter walking on the water? I mean, seriously, like that first step, let's talk about it. Was it solid? Was it like stepping on the platform here, you know, kind of? Or was it like a sponge, you know, semi-wet, but yet there was substance? Or maybe you just kind of floated and you were just like on the water and like there was little contact. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure his hair and his beard got salt water in them and it was like, you know, that kind of thing, wind tunnel. But like, was it jello? I mean, did he kind of like squish down? Because I think that'd be pretty rad, really. Like if you're rocking on jello, right? It'd be like, yeah, it's kind of cool. Like squishing up between your toes, right? Anybody stepped on a jellyfish? Probably the closest you're going to get. Anybody? You stepped on a jellyfish, man. I'm sorry, bro. I wonder what that was like. I would challenge you guys, man. If the Bible is getting old, try to think about how it really was. Don't think of it as fairy tale fable, but think of it as Peter getting out. Man, did he have to lift his leg up? I mean, like, you know, did he pull his pants? You know, guys, when you do that, you like pull your pants up to like give you a little room to stretch out, right? Pull your pants up, by the way, just in general. Sorry, just a thing. Sometimes I see people, my little 9-year-old, man, he's like, Dad, Dad. I'm like, I know, son. Some people just, you know, they don't keep it classy. So, I mean, did he like stumble over the bow of the boat when he's getting out and try, you know, like, did he tip over? I mean, like, if he's, you know, nervous, like, what did that look like? So, don't just read the Bible and go, oh yeah, here's where Peter gets out on the water. He walks on the water. You know, yeah, that's cool. Jesus, you know, man, put yourself there. What was it like if you're like, you know, one of the disciples sitting there going, that fool is crazy. He is getting out of the boat. That's what I would have said. I don't think I would be Peter, right? I identify with Peter a lot because Peter like had his foot in his mouth a lot of times, right? So that is me, right? But like, I probably wouldn't have been the guy like, hey, Jesus, it's you, I'm coming. Who would do that? Who is the daredevil? Anybody? A couple? Of course you would. Of course you would. All right. Let's read Matthew, and we're going to start at verse 22. Before we do, though, we just saw, give it a little context here, we just saw Jesus feed the 5,000 people before this. So the disciples are on this miracle high. I mean, they should have. I mean, we'll see later on in the text that they did not get it, but they should have got it, right? A little boy had a couple tuna sandwiches, and he brought them, and Jesus is like, you have a sandwich, you have a sandwich, you have a sandwich. And there was 5,000 people that had sandwiches. That's a miracle, right? Go to your cafeteria and do that, right? Lady with a hairnet, all we got today is tuna sandwich, right? She's gonna break them in half. All right. On the heels of that comes this passage, all right? And so the disciples didn't get it, but Jesus probably had to prepare them. And this is part of the preparation process. Verse 22. Immediately, I got to stop right there. Somebody say immediately. Immediately. There's three immediates in this story, three immediately's, and we'll talk about them a little bit later. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. I had a friend of mine that visited me about a month ago here. It was after Sunday service, and he was so patient because I got to tell you guys, can I be transparent? I'm going to be honest with you. I love Valley Bible folk. I love the people of Valley Bible. So if anybody will stick around and pray with me, I will stick around and pray, right? I am like a church cat. I love to hang. I love to pray. I love to baptize folk. I just dig it. And so this guy drove all the way down from Sacramento to hang with me, and he sat patiently by. And so like literally, there was like five people in the room. And he goes, Jones, you never change. He goes, dude, and never change. He goes, you're killing me because I got to go back to SAC. But you prayed with anybody here. You stick around and you high five, you hug, you do whatever. He goes, you're killing me, but never change. I love it. And I just wanted to say, I wish I saw this passage. I was going to preach at it before because that's what Jesus did. You hear that? Jesus shut the church service down. He sent the disciples on their way, and Jesus said, I'm going to stick around. Oh, and by the way, we're probably going to wrap up around 8 tonight. I hope, Tony, right? That's what I told Tony, but I hope. But we will stay here and pray as long as Jesus wants to pray. Oh, and here's how long. We just read it. Jesus will stay and pray with you as long as you want. He's going to stay longer than me. He's going to stay. Yes. And you know what? I happen to know the prayer team and Brother Tony, they'll stay as long too. Right? So just, you know, we'll end on time, so don't get me wrong. But if you want to stay and pray, man, ain't nobody going to kick you out. All right? Unless you fake praying. Right? You just need a little nap. We understand. Okay? We got it. Right? Anybody ever done that before? I feel like praying right now. Yes, Lord. So he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of them to the other side while he sent the crowds away. Jesus shut down the church service. I love it. Oh, by the way, he made the crowds go away. He made the disciples go away. The disciples didn't want to go away, or else it probably would have used a different word, right? But it said he made them, or he, you know, kind of had to force them at some level. He compelled them to go because the disciples didn't want to go. I don't know if it's that they did not want to leave Jesus and the miracles. You know, they're like, Jesus, this is all what's going on, man. This is a lot of, you know, this church service ended awesome. You know, when you have a good ending to a church service and nobody really wants to go, it was probably like that. And probably they were getting ready to make Jesus their king. And so I think Jesus goes, whoa, 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 it's a little bit too early for this. This does not need to happen in this course of my ministry right now. So I think what happened was Jesus kind of dispelled the crowd from like going, you know, Jesus, Jesus. And they wanted to make him the king because that had to happen in due timing. And so I think Jesus said, all right, disciples, you get out of here. I'm going to like say goodbye, kiss the babies, and then I'm going to go up to the mountains to pray. And that's what happens. Jesus sent the crowd out. I mean, he dismissed the crowd. He sent the disciples away. Verse 23, after he sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain to pray by himself when it was evening and he was there alone. I could just preach right here. Jesus modeled a couple of things, solitude and prayer. He made it a point to pray. In fact, we see it several times in the passage in the books before this, that Jesus often got alone to pray. I don't know about you guys, but if I don't get up early and pray in Casa Jones, praying ain't gonna happen. You know what ends up happening? Talking to the kids, making breakfast. You hear what I'm saying? Put the dog out, getting the dog back in, feed the dog, scramble the eggs, make the lunch. You with me? That's what happens. So if I don't get up early, I'm not by myself, and I'm not praying, but that's self-confession. So you got to do what you got to do. But our model, our goal, our end thing here is Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. I think he also went up to the mountain to pray so he could be with Jesus, but he also saw the 12 knuckleheads in the boat going, wait till these guys, I'm waiting for it. I'm going to freak them out, right? He's probably talking to God. Hey, God, I'm going to freak these guys out. I'm going to walk on the water. I'm going to get them. Watch this, right? And so he waits, and we'll see in just a little bit. The wind and the waves are kind of kicking up. So he made him go. He sent the crowds away. He went to pray. Before we move on, I got to talk a little bit more about prayer. I've heard a lot of kind of mystical attributions about prayer. I've heard that a man is no greater than his prayer life. Anybody ever heard something, quotes like that? God can only use us to the level of our prayer preparedness. You know, we hear these quotes and I'm like, I get it. I understand, man. Prayer is an important thing. And I don't know the average amount of prayer time people get. I suspect it's not a lot. But if we look through the whole of Scripture and kind of summarize a couple things about prayer, the Bible champions prayer quite a bit. And the Bible esteems prayer as something pretty amazing. I don't know about you, but there's been a couple times in my life that I've met people and I just go, what is it about that guy? And you kind of look at him, you're like, man, I met one pastor and I asked one of his staff, I go, you're a pastor? I mean, it's not like he's glowing or anything, but like, I just feel like this guy knows God. He said, you know what? My pastor comes in every day and prays 3 hours before he starts working. 3 hours. Man, what would it be like if we prayed 3 hours? I mean, folks, we either believe that prayer is something funky, crazy, cool, spiritual, real, awesome, or we don't. And if we don't, then just say grace over your meals and go on your way. But if we do believe that prayer changes things, get to praying. Right? Am I right? Hey, if you believe that you got the winning lottery number, you're going to go buy a ticket. Please don't go buy the lottery. That's just wasting your money. We'll take another offering. If you feel compelled to go play lottery tonight, we will take another offering. You will do more good. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you really feel that something's going to happen, man, you act on it. And if you really feel that prayer is something so amazing, crazy, funky, cool, awesome, spiritual, then you need to start going about it a little bit more serious. And I dare you to just set your alarm for 10 minutes tomorrow morning. Yeah, tomorrow, because you're going to get to sleep late tonight because I challenge you, all right? You're going to eat some nasty pizza tonight. It's going to keep you up. It's going to make you get sleep in. You hear me? You're going to have everything come against you. And that should show you that prayer is for real. Jesus went alone often to pray. Jesus, before he went to the cross, before he died, went alone to pray all night. Jesus, before he chose the 12 disciples that he would spend 3 years of his life with them, went and prayed all night. When is the last time we did something all night besides slept? We need to say, if prayer is real, let's do something about it. I ain't lying, man. Prayer is for real. And if you don't believe it or you want to test, I dare you. Yeah, hey, brother with the tattoos all over yourself, man, you're tough. I know you're tough. You take me and snap me like a twig. But I'm challenging you, wherever you're at, I'm challenging you to pray, to increase your prayer life, and see if it doesn't change your life. All right? I'm just saying. If you don't know what to pray about, just remember the big ball, man. Pray for me. Jesus chose prayer above all. The disciples could have asked Jesus anything they wanted to. They're with him all the time. And you know what intrigues me? They didn't say, Jesus, teach me how to get rich. Jesus, teach me how to be powerful. Jesus, teach me how to do miracles. Or teach me the way of the Father. What did the disciples say? Lord, teach us to pray. And what did he teach them? The Lord's Prayer. If you don't have anything else to pray for, pray through the Lord's Prayer. Look up prayer models on the internet and you will find a bunch of ways to pray. And here's the deal. Push pray. Pray until something happens. Just pray until something happens, right? If you're in a bad situation right now and you're anybody like out there right now, like you don't have to say anything to yourself. Anybody going, I am in a time right now where I'm praying my head off because I am hurting. Anybody? Okay, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. We're not gonna no one knows what it is, man. Okay, so Father God, my hand is up. Both of my hands are up. God, I'm getting beat up. Lord, I have been drawn to prayer by circumstance. And God, you show me that the more I pray, the better it gets. You show me that when I commune with you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You have told me, God, that through the darkest times, when the wind and the waves are the craziest and the loudest and the biggest and the scariest, you are there in the midst. And so everybody with our hands up, God, we need release, but God, we need to know that you believe that we pray to you and that you are working on our behalf. God, answer these prayers in Jesus' name. And everybody said, I told the prayer team tonight, I told Tony who told the prayer team. If not, prayer team, I'm telling you now. And you already heard it. We're going to have an extended time of prayer, all right? I'm getting ready to wrap up, okay? So I'll say this, in closing, that doesn't mean anything, right? When the pastor says in closing, that means nothing. But we're going to get out early enough so that you guys can come pray. Usually when we pray, we're like, dear God, touch him, give him a word. Next, dear God, boom, on the forehead, touch him. Tonight, we will pray with you as long as it takes, okay? We're going to minister tonight, not just like a little quick prayer, like prayer. We're gonna really pray it through. Sorry, if that offended somebody, I just, it happens. The apostles were challenged with a situation, and the bottom line was there was a lot of things that they had to do. They got a lot of tasks on their list. And they, through prayer and seeking the Lord, said, you know what? The apostles, us, we need to give ourselves to prayer and fasting and the ministry of the word, and we're going to appoint deacons. That means regular folk. Maybe you don't have a Bible college degree. Maybe you don't have any degree. It doesn't matter. You can serve the Lord with your gifts and talents. And they appointed the deacons to go and serve the other people. All right? You don't have to be talented to get your serve on, all right? God doesn't need your ability to serve in the kingdom. He needs your availability. Hello? That's a word right there. Verse 24. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Verse 26, the disciples saw him walking on the sea, and they were terrified and said, "Ah, it's a ghost!" That's exactly what I would have said, just like that. Right? Anybody? We got to keep it real, man. Because others, if we don't keep it real, we're going to think it's like a bunch of guys with like British accents going, "Boy, the waves sure are tough tonight, Peter." Oh, no, for the British accents. "Boy, the waves are tough tonight, Peter." "We won't make it back to Nazareth for tea." If you're British out there, that was not British. That was Australian, so I apologize. Because I was born and raised right here in Baco, every accent This is true. My wife makes fun of me all the time. Because I was born here and just like, you know, this is my home. This is my homies right here. I turn every accent into like Hispanic accent. I'm like, hey, man, like a cup of tea, eh? You know, like. Loco. So the third watch of the night was probably about 3 in the a.m. They had rowed about 3 miles in. So let's think about this. They are rowing against the wind in the middle of the night. How many of you guys know, like, if you're going to be lost in a boat at sea and the wind and the waves are there, you want to be there in the daytime, right? You don't want to be there at night. By the way, they probably didn't know that there was no such thing as sea monsters at that time, right? They already thought they saw a ghost, right? I mean, think about it. They're in there. They're taking turns rowing. "Ah, I'm tired. Next." Right? "You idiot. You're supposed to row longer than that. All right, here we go, row." You got to keep it real, man. That's what's happening, right? It wasn't just guys sitting around. "Oh, lovely. The wind is blowing again. Blimey." They're rowing, man. They're rowing against it, man. And they rowed literally halfway into the Sea of Galilee, right out in the middle, man. Don't you know that that's where the enemy strikes? Do you not know that? When you are most vulnerable, he'll hit you there. When you are sloppy, he will hit you there. When you don't have margin, bam, he is on you right there. Don't get sloppy. Let me tell you something about the devil. He's smart, man. And he will let you go. And by the way, there may be some people here that you have gone a little bit, man, and you didn't mean to get involved in the sin that you have. It's just been a little bit and a little bit, and that slope is slippery, and it's a slow fade. But the enemy knows, and he's letting you go, and he's letting you go, and he's letting you live a double life. And it will be at his discretion when he calls your sin in. And if you don't get that stuff worked out and you just go, "I can get over it, I can get away with it," the enemy's going to go, "No, you're not. And when it works out to my advantage the most, I'm going to call you on that and I'm going to expose it." I'm going to tell you right now, get that sin out. Put it down on this altar tonight and don't leave home. Don't take it back home. Don't leave here without getting out of it. So in the middle of the night and in the middle of the sea, while they are all beat and wore out and broke down and tired, fatigued, here comes, just when they think it can't get any worse, here comes the ghost. And they don't know it's Jesus. They think it's a ghost. They're like, "I'm tired. I can't even splash water at this ghost to scare him away. I'm so tired," right? "Go, ghost, go, whatever, just take me," right? They're beat up, man. They're worn out. And they freak. They shriek like little girls. "Ah! This was the second time that this wind and the waves in the middle of the Sea of Galilee happened to the disciples, right? The first time, what happened? Jesus was the exact opposite of these guys, tired and freaked out, right, and scared. "Ah, ghost." Jesus was so chill. He's like, "Hey, man, you jokers row. I'm God and stuff, so I'm going to take a nap." Right? Time number one, when the wind and the waves came, Jesus was asleep. And the disciples were freaked out again. And he gets up. He's like, "Really? Where's your faith? Peace be still. I'm going back to sleep." I mean, right? That's my little summary, but that's what happened. So same thing, eerily, scarily reminiscent. But this time they're without Jesus. Do you think the disciples were trying to do what Jesus did? I kind of think I would have. I'd have been like, okay, wait, this has happened again. Wind, waves, nighttime, we're freaking out. Peace be still! Peace be still! You know, like trying to do your Jesus impersonation. Peace be still! Whatever, however Jesus did, they were there, right? I think I would have tried to do that. And then I would have said, Andrew, get out of the way, man. Let me show you how to do it right. And then, right? I mean, it's the same except for Jesus was not with them. So here comes Jesus. And I think when they saw him, they probably realized that the formula that they were trying to evoke in prayer was not working. Here's why I went that thing. And by the way, I hope you guys are okay with me being funny and humorous, because I really try to be humorous. Okay, you guys are sweet. Thank you, but I was really trying to say that, like, I feel like we're so ADD that, like, every 5 seconds, at least every 5 minutes, right, I need to, like, do something to stir it up to, like, get us all back. And so there's actually a method to my humor. And tonight I feel like I'm a little over the top with humor. So maybe you guys are just a little over the top with your sleep. I don't know. Holy Spirit knows, right? We're on the same page. I'm just kidding. So as the disciples were trying to evoke some kind of formula, peace be still, Jesus style, in the name of Jesus, peace be still, and they're trying to dredge up this thing. As I was contemplating the passage, I thought, don't we try to do that, right? When we see Jesus do something, or we see Pastor Ron do something, we try to recreate that. Sometimes it works, right? It really does. Sometimes it works. There's a, I don't want to call it a formula, but there's a just something about it. And I think God likes to do crazy things, but he doesn't really dig formulas a lot, right? I mean, he's very specific, but like even Jesus mixed things up, right? When he healed blind guys, you know, one time he just touched them and said, you know, have your sight go. And another time he spit a loogie in the ground, right, and made a little, you know, mud paste and put it on the guy's eye, right? I mean, that's like two totally different things, but the result was the same. Blind people were healed. I wonder if we do that sometimes to the good, which is fine, right? If you're just learning how to hear God's voice, or you're just learning how to pray, or how to, you know, lead somebody to Christ, then by all means, follow some type of a pattern, follow an example, have somebody with you, whatever. But if not, I mean, and that's good. So, but if you've done it a couple times, it probably won't be the exact way that it's always happened. Okay? So what I'm saying is, if you pray the same prayer every day and you don't really think about it, right? Like, God's great, God's good, let us pray for our food, amen. Okay. I'm sure your food is good, okay? But I also think that you might want to be a little bit more creative in your praying. Dear God, thank you for these mashed potatoes. Why not mix it up? Right? I mean, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Because if not, we're like the guy that wrote his prayers on the wall. And he said, dear God, I've had the same prayer request, so there they are. Good night. Husbands, tell me if this works. Let's break it down into practical. Your wife knows that you love her, right? Because you married her however many years ago. You probably bought her flowers a long time ago. So, ladies, see where I'm going with this. You don't got to remind her. She knows. You hear what I'm saying? We don't need to pray the rosary. We don't need to pray the Lord's Prayer only. We need to let God lead us on a prayer journey. You hear what I'm saying? Prayer is an adventure with God. And I think if the disciples would have realized the first time Jesus said, wind and waves, take care, be peace, be still, woe ye of little faith, I think they would have got a clue and said, I need to have more faith. Because when Jesus reveals himself as not the ghost, but the one walking on the water, he says again, whoa, where is your faith? It's about faith. It's not about the formula of praying. It's not about praying the rosary. It's not about praying the Lord's Prayer verbatim every time. It's about saying, God, what do we pray about today? My kids has a test. Oh, God, cover their test, Lord. Bring back the thing, the mind, the things that they studied. Oh, Lord, my friend has a thing, a little procedure today. God bless him, bless the doctor. You hear what I'm saying? You can use the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, oh God, thank you that you're a Father. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you're here today. Thank you that you are God. You're Daddy God to me. Lord, I just need you to love me today. Show me your Son, and you're my Father. God, help me. Man, let's not make it about the rules and the rote and the traditions. And there's something to be said about all things, but we don't do those things. Jesus himself even said, we don't need to pray these recited prayers like the Pharisees do. We need to have our prayer, since I've been challenging you guys about prayer, some of you guys are going to get up early in the morning and pray, be on a prayer adventure with God and ask God, what do you want me to pray for today? And he'll bring things to your mind. Maybe you need to even write them down as you go, okay? Have a little notebook right by you. We already prayed. We already prayed that he was going to put a name or a face on your heart, somebody that needs to be here at church. So, all right, I'm just saying, we're getting dangerous tonight, right? Some of you guys go, man, I just came to church for a little taco outside, a little, you know, a little fellowship, drop my offering in, but man, I got more than that. You know what I'm saying? This is buffet time tonight. I started thinking that there's several places in Scripture that talk about how God is a God that is in command of the waters, all right? And so God controls the waters from the very beginning. In the beginning, the Spirit was moving over the face of the deep and over the waters, right? And we see this all through Scripture, and I'm going to give you a couple. Job 9:8. He alone spread out the heavens and marches on the waves of the sea. He alone. Why were the disciples so mesmerized that it was Jesus walking on the water? Had they not read the Bible? Job was probably the first book that happened chronologically. All right? Job was back in the days of the dinosaurs, ladies and gentlemen. There's dinosaurs mentioned in the book of Job. Yes, if you don't believe me, go look it up. It's there. But the disciples surely had read the book of Job, but maybe they hadn't read this verse. He's alone. He alone spreads out the heavens and marches on the waves of the sea. Psalm 77:19. Your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. Or what about this? Isaiah 43:16. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. Anybody remember the Exodus? You know, the whole thing where Jesus dried up, you know, where God dried up this wind and the waves and the sea. You hear what I'm saying? So we shouldn't be surprised at all. God is above all the elements, but throughout Scripture, we see that God is in charge of the elements, specifically the water. Why did God allow his disciples to experience the storm? See, sometimes there's a storm because we have disobeyed. Anybody ever heard of a cat named Jonah, right? He disobeyed. He got in a ship. God troubled the waters, right? They threw him overboard. The big fish came. You hear what I'm saying? Sometimes we're in the waters, we're in a storm because we have disobeyed. Sometimes we're in the storm because we obeyed. How do you figure out the two? Great question. You got to figure it out, though. I can't tell you. You got to know that some storms are because you are in sin. But here's the deal. If you're not in sin, you're in a storm because God wants to show himself larger than your situation, larger than your ways. He wants to build your faith. Yeah. So consider, I'm in a storm. Why am I in the storm? And even if you're in the storm because of your own sin, selfishness, and stupidity, God still forgives you in the midst of all of that junk. Hello. He still is walking on the waters. He still is going to reach out and pull you up no matter how you got there. Do not let guilt come into your life. Do not let shame come into your life because the devil will use guilt and shame to beat you down and not receive all that God has for you. Right? Think about it. Peter's in the waves. Right? Oh, I should never stepped out as my father. Idiot. Why did I get out of the boat? Right? And the next thing you know, man, wave, boom. He's buried. You hear what I'm saying? Shame and guilt do nobody any good. Sometimes we get this little thing called conviction mixed up with guilt, though. When God calls you out of your sin, he will convict you. Right? Because he loves you. He wants you to see that what you're doing, that little thing that you're involved in, that big thing, and what you're doing there, that's hurting you. And so the Holy Spirit or your conscience or whatever God uses, he'll say, we need to stop this stuff. And it's a conviction that we need to love and we need to embrace. It's like your little kid, right? You got kids and they're like this. You haven't told them anything. But they know it's about 4:30 and dinner's coming up. And they see the cookies on the counter. And they don't just go grab a cookie and eat it. They go... You know what I'm saying? If you guys are in a situation like that with God, and you're like, I don't know if God's looking. Probably ain't right. Lean in to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but don't let the devil beat you down with guilt and shame. So the devil would love to destroy you, but in this situation, the wind and the waves were there not to destroy the disciples and not to mess with them, but to grow them, to give them a base level of spiritual understanding so that at this level, they could be able to compete at this level. And when they have conquered this level, they would be able to compete at this level. It's just a matter of time before Jesus grabs the disciples and all night prays and says, I am going away. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be killed. And you guys are going to be given the test of your life. If they haven't gone through the wind and the waves once, twice, how are they going to go through the storm of the cross? And then after Jesus died and rose again, every one of the disciples say, one was died a martyr's death because of their faith. So if they hadn't had the wind and the waves, they never would have had the cross and they never would have had a chance to live their life as a martyr. And because of those 12 guys, we are here today. That's how strong their message was, period. Embrace the trial. Scripture talks time and time again that God gives you the trial. No matter how it came, He gives you the trial to be your tutor, to be your mentor, to help you grow. It's like you lifting weights, man, and every time you lift, and every time you do another set, and every time you lift more weight, you're getting stronger, you're getting better, you're becoming a better athlete. And it's the same thing spiritually. Man, every time you push, every time you pray, every time you love, every time you talk about Jesus with somebody, every time the enemy comes to grind you like powder, you just say, no, man, I'm squeezing a blessing out of you. It's God that allowed this to happen, and He's making me the man and woman of God that I need to be. Man, I get excited about that. Embrace your trial. Embrace the wind. Embrace the waves, because He's not going to let you drown. You may think you're going to drown. You may be swallowing water. You may be coming up for air, but you will live. You will survive. You will make it. Man, I feel like God's going to do something tonight. So then, Jesus reaches down and He grabs Peter and He pulled him up. And I feel like we need to get pulled up. And I know I didn't read that passage, but I feel like I really want to tie this off tonight so we can have time to pray. And not just tonight, but I need you guys to be men and women of prayer. I need you guys to be men and women of influence. We are an amazing church. We need to be an influential church. And I'm not saying that we are. I'm not saying we're not. I'm saying I live every day of my life wanting to be more of an influence in the people's lives so we can get there. But it's got to be strategic, and we've got to want it. We've got to be passionate about it. Jesus reached down and He grabbed Peter and He snatched him out of the wind and the waves. And then he said what all we need to hear. He said, don't worry. Let me just read this one little thing of Jesus' quote here. Jesus immediately stretched out His hand and took a hold of him and said, you of little faith, why do you doubt? When He got in the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshiped Him, saying this. This is after all they'd been through. This is, keep the scripture right here. And those who were in the boat worshiped Him, saying, you are certainly God's Son. You ever go through those periods where you're like, I know prayer works, I know prayer works, and you're claiming it, but trying to convince yourself at the same time? It's almost like we're praying, I know prayer works, doesn't it? I know prayer works, please let it be. I know prayer works, God, are you there? I'm being real, anybody? We need to know, sometimes we don't have the answers we want. And sometimes, and here it is right now, the disciples walked with Jesus in the flesh years. They'd been with Him years by this point. And then they said it again. They said, and finally they worshiped Him and said, this truly is the Son of God. And I think that's what happened when we go from glory to glory to glory. We go, man, He was. He really did answer me. He really did bring this to pass. He really did get me out of the water. He did rescue me. He is God Almighty. And then down into the ditch, right? Down into that depth, down into the water. And then we bring up to another glory and we go, I don't think he's going to make it. Oh, is prayer real? Does God really help me? And then we go, and it happened and he saved me again. He truly is the Son of God. Then we're down in the depths again. Then we come back up. You hear what I'm saying? It goes, it goes, it goes. So I'm going to say that. And I told you I was going to get you out of here early. If you need to go, hey, go. That's fine, man. Don't everybody bums rush the children's ministry right now, all right? So we got a few minutes, so you don't have to, you know, to run out of here and grab your kids. If you want to hang out and fellowship out there, that's cool. I'm going to have the prayer rail people, if you guys want to come, start making your way down. And if you guys want to fellowship, hang out there and do fellowship. If you want to stay in your seat and pray for other people around you and stuff, that's fine too. There are no wrong answers here, all right? Can I have everybody stand to your feet right now while we're going to get dismissed? And you guys remember that old song? It's probably not real old, but Oceans. Remember the song Oceans? I'm gonna let that be our benediction tonight. At least part of it here. You call. This is just perfectly written for Jesus walking on the water. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail, and there I find you. Just lost my place. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep. My faith will stand. And I will call on your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your grace abounds. Reach it. Can somebody reach up and grab that? I'll just let her sing it to you right now. Maybe we just need to worship right now. Maybe we do that. I'm not dismissing you yet. We're turning this into a worship service, and here's the deal. Yeah, if you want to come down and let our prayer people pray with you. I'll be back with you at the end of this song, and I'll give you a formal dismissal.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love, here is our